Welcome to Beyond the Boards, your go-to podcast for all things related to the exciting world of digital out-of-home advertising. I'm your host, Patrick Brennan, here to take you behind the screens and into the inner workings of our fascinating industry. On each episode, we'll hear from the visionaries, creators, and analysts driving this fast-paced industry forward. We'll talk about emerging technologies, creative campaigns, as well as strategy, measurement, and insights. The goal is both to entertain and educate anyone who shares a passion for digital out-of-home advertising. So sit back, relax, and get ready to go beyond the boards. Welcome back, everyone, to the Beyond the Boards podcast. Today, I am really hyped to have on the dream team of people that I have on this podcast. We have three members of our very talented client services team here at Encompass TV, leading off with Marielle Padilla, Molly Bohan, and Carter Cox. Thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course, guys. Of course. I love your energy. You guys, for those of you that don't know, so we have a very tight-knit team, first off, but a very tight-knit office here at our Denver headquarter office. And this team works very closely together. I used to be a member of the client services team back in the day. And they're always in a good mood. They're always positive. They're always helpful with, you know, internally as a you know, teammates at Encompass, but also mostly with dealers as well. And anyone you ask, any current dealer, if you ask them about the client services team, they always light up and go on and on about how amazing they are. So I want to compliment you guys there. Just to kick things off and kind of go over what we're going to discuss, we're going to talk a lot today about dealer development and business development in general. So we're going to talk about how you guys train dealers, the ongoing support, really what those resources look like, and things kind of within that sphere of the conversation. So just to kick things off with an initial kind of question, an easy question, if you will, is can you guys walk us through the onboarding process for new dealers? What are some of the key steps in terms of onboarding?
Yeah, I guess I'll start off on that one. As far as the onboarding process, I think if a dealer isn't hearing from us almost daily, then something's wrong in the onboarding process. And the main reason for that being is, you know, obviously a lot of these, you know, business owners that are coming into this are sometimes first time, or it's just a completely new industry that they're going in, right? So for us, our biggest thing is being there every step of the way for them. But what that process is going to look like is us being in constant communication of, you know, what your scheduling looks like. So, you know, what's your availability going to be? We're pretty flexible and we've seen everything really across the board as far as, you know, how much time people have to commit to this business. So that's probably one of the biggest things that kickstarts the onboarding process is understanding the time management side of it and what you have, you know, basically available to attend trainings for and one-on-one sessions later on down the road. But a lot of that is going to look like getting on, you know, one-on-one trainings with myself, Carter, Quinn, almost every member of the team at some point in time you're going to get on a training for. And with that being said, you know, we'll take you through trainings for every step of the business when it comes to the setup. Right. So you'll have an intro call that goes through, you know, the business setup, the little things that you have to get done, like setting up, you know, your LLC or your DBA, whatever the case may be. And then kind of moving along to what are the foundational pieces of the business. Right. So we start by giving you a lot of background on the company, the industry, and then move you along to, OK, now that, you know, the bone bears of everything, what are we going to start moving into as far as building out your business plan? Right. Because everyone knows one of the hardest things I feel like about either buying a business for the first time is really understanding the full plan, right? Not, hey, I just bought a business. Where do I start? We want to give you some clear cut directions. So that's honestly, I guess if you're summarizing all of the training, it's taking it one step at a time and showing you how every stage of the business kind of, you know, meshes together to set up a foundational piece that you can then, you know, execute throughout the lifespan of the business. Great. I mean, training is a big one. You have like 9 different sets of trainings, if not more, that you're initially going through.
Yeah, very good answer. And so let me ask you this. I guess I'll kind of turn it to Carter or Molly now. Whenever a dealer comes on board, are our trainings cookie cutter? Do we do customization to the dealer? What does that look like?
Yeah, I can answer that one. I think that's a great question, Patrick. And it's certainly not going to be a cookie cutter, one size fits all formula for anyone that we work with. We personalize not only our trainings, but, you know, that schedule, like Marielle said, we're, you know, working directly with that dealer, working with their availability, what time works best for them, how much time are they going to dedicate towards this business. that's going to give us a pretty strong indication of, you know, what to expect. From there, we can implement certain trainings that they're going to find relevant. We're going to implement trainings that we think are going to, you know, benefit them. That's all to say, too, our trainings are highly interactive. They're really, you know, time dedicated for that dealer to learn the material. We're not, you know, just going through slides or pushing an agenda. We're really asking questions, asking that dealer to go through examples and really trying to get them to think about their specific, you know, approach to their business, how the information we're giving them, they can, you know, use that to apply to their network. So it's definitely not a one size fits all formula for, you know, training our dealers. We really are very intentional about what we're putting them through, what kind of communication we're relaying to them, and also just how we communicate that information. Everyone's different and everyone has a different learning style. So that's definitely how we approach, you know, working with so many different types of personalities and also just experience levels too.
So Molly, to you now, what initial resources or tools does Encompass provide to support new dealers in helping them get off the ground at the very beginning?
Definitely. Well, we provide a lot of tools. First of all, just the client services team in general, as, you know, communication. We help them, you know, build a CRM to help them organize basically anything that they're going to encounter in the field. Leads, people they're meeting, businesses that they're interested in.
And something I see you in particular spending a lot of time on, Molly, is like developing proposals for these dealers. And sometimes like sales resources, like presentations and sales sheets and things like that. And a lot of that is custom. Is that, once again, kind of to Carter's point, I know it's not a cookie cutter approach, but are there certain tools we set them up with from day one? And then how do dealers react to that? Are there certain things that they, you know, maybe want custom to them in terms of their market?
Yeah.
How does that
work? I can add to that too. I would say a big part of the client service team, what we're really trying to emphasize too, is we're providing our dealers with plenty of resources that are pretty much asynchronous, right? It's not just that live support, which they can always get, especially when we're in office in Denver, Colorado, but also we're giving them access to our knowledge base, which is a vast content library. It has, you know, lots of different resources relating to all different areas of our business, but that's, you know, a live 24/7 resource that they have access to, you know, even when we're, you know, not in the office or we're, you know, fast asleep at night and they're hard away working at their business. They have access to tools that they can, you know, don't require another person on the other end of that. So we definitely provide our dealers with a lot of different resources that, you know, are going to be useful to that, right? We know everyone has different schedules, everyone has different itineraries, all that kind of stuff, especially with the challenges of running a business. So we know people are busy. So we equip them with plenty of resources that they can use, you know, into the long hours of the night, basically.
Absolutely. And what, you know, or I should ask, how do you guys really set those expectations for dealers from the start? I know you mentioned the amount of time they dedicate and things of that nature. That's obviously going to affect anything you do. That's something I even talk about in my sales process to prospective dealers is, you know, I get a lot of questions about, hey, what is it? How long does it take to reach this point or that point? And I tell them, like, really, it's in your hands because the team is so hands-on, right? So how do you guys set those expectations with them from day one and really, you know, lay out a clear roadmap for those goals for them?
I think that's definitely something that happens in the natural conversation of the onboarding process, right? Because we're learning everything about them, from their strengths to their weaknesses, and also, you know, some of the other things that really contribute greatly into this business development, which means, you know, the time management, the resources even that you have at your disposal, right? So I guess one of the main trainings that we do, which is honestly my personal favorite, is more of like that host research business plan training, where we sit down and we say, hey, you know, you bought this business and, you know, hopefully you have some clear goals. And if not, maybe we can help you get into the, you know, brand mindset of what you want those goals to look like or be based off of what you're trying to get out of the business, right? So if it's more time with family or basically your retirement plan, right? Whatever it's going to be, we want to assess your goals, your needs, your wants, everything along that, and kind of work backwards, right? Knowing the goals that you set for yourself, whether that be revenue on a revenue standpoint or just, you know, personal goals, we'll work backwards to essentially say, okay, well, here's what you have. Knowing what we know, and, you know, either how aggressive or how slow that you want to take this, it's going to take X, Y, and Z to get you there. And half of that is even us using our softwares and, you know, the systems that we have in place to do market research, right, on your area. We don't just give you a plan based off of theory. We sit down, we look at essentially the area that you know, purchase so that we can develop that further. We'll look at everything from the number of businesses that are within your area, right? The population size, and then take a look at, you know, how do people operate in your community? How far do they usually travel? And then from there is kind of where the business plan comes from, right? We know your goals, we know your area. So now we're going to set these small, achievable kind of metrics and goals to build out your business that will essentially end up getting you to that, you know, final step or what you want to be, more or less that final step.
Great answer. And a question that I get a lot as well from people looking into this business is, hey, Patrick, I don't have a background in sales. I've never really sold. I don't really get marketing, or maybe I have a little bit of experience marketing, not a lot or no experience. What do you guys do with dealers like that? And how often does that happen?
That's my probably favorite thing that ever happens when I come across a new dealer is they say, hey, I have no sales experience, but they have the best personality and they are the easiest person to talk to. And so whenever I get someone like that, and even if it's, you know, it's not that you have to be the most outgoing person or the most energetic person, but you just know how to talk to people and you're not afraid of talking to people, right? And so that's probably my favorite scenario to come across, because I think people tend to overcomplicate it. At the end of the day, we can teach you a pitch, we can teach you sales through and through. But, you know, the foundation of it all is, do you have the willingness to want to go out there and talk to people? This is a relationship business. So if you want, and if you like developing relationships, then this is a good place for you, regardless of your experience in the sales world. And so even me coming from a sales background, this is very different from anything I've ever done. And because it's more relationship based, this is actually my favorite type of sales to work in. You know, the quick sales is great and all, but honestly, even some of those skills don't directly translate into this business. So kind of just something to leave with anyone that's, you know, keeping that in the back of their mind, or something that's just stopping them from, you know, wanting to pursue this new venture. It's really not the biggest factor in this at all.
I would love to just add to Marielle's answer too. We have, you know, a lot of our dealers that we're introducing this business and we're onboarding them to what we do and how they can grow their network. They don't have a lot of experience, to Marielle's point. However, you know, through the training process, we provide so much, you know, hands-on experience and support with, you know, how to approach sales and marketing and approaching, you know, different business personalities and, you know, going on the field, how to prospect, all those things Marielle's talked about in terms of how to run your business. We'll give them a lot of that information during training. However, even after those training sessions end with client services, we're still a constant touch point for these dealers throughout the lifespan of their business. If they have questions about how to approach a certain business, maybe it's a specific industry category that they just don't know how to have that conversation, we can help them with that. We can go through live, you know, practice scenarios. We can hop on calls with them. We can even do in-person trainings with them if that's an option. But really, our client services team will be a constant sort of, you know, a teammate for them essentially too, and a partner, you know, as they grow their business, whatever questions they have, whatever concerns they may have, client services will help work them through those so they can, you know, focus on growing their business.
You just made me think of something, Carter. So you guys are so hands-on with the support, and it's kind of funny because every dealer that comes on board tells me, and I know they tell you, they have to tell you guys the same thing, like, it's crazy how much your team supports us. And it always is kind of like shocking, which is crazy because I build that up like no other. You know, hey, they're going to be very hands-on, they're going to help you this, that. And then when they get on board, they're like, you undersold it. It's more than that. But with that, right, you're providing all the support. How do you balance supporting dealers while at the same time almost encouraging their independence and like teaching them certain elements of the business themselves? Because obviously there's a lot they need to do. It's still a business. It's not, you know, they're obviously, you guys support them, but how do you guys balance teaching versus actually just supporting in different ways?
That's an excellent question. I'll just kind of get the first stab at that. It's definitely a balance in terms of, you know, being that constant, you know, service member for these dealers, especially in client services. We're preparing materials for them or walking through practice examples. We're doing prospecting them. We are doing a lot of work for them. But essentially in that training stage, we want to be making sure that we're showing these dealers that's done right. Right. So that's our whole kind of mindset is, if we take the time at the start to really show them how it's done right, and that's not to say we won't help them down the road if they have questions or if they want us to walk through another example, but we really take a lot of time at the beginning showing them it's done, you know, administrative work, how that's done right, how to keep their business organized, you know, how to talk to different buyer personalities, all those different parts of their business. We're showing them, you know, the best example we can give them, and we're giving them that support, you know, as they continue to practice that.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to add a note in here for those listening on the podcast. This team, they're talking about this stuff all day, every day. So they're constantly in conversations about this stuff. They're constantly like so energetic. Before we started recording this podcast, they're all like, we're nervous. We gotta, you know, like, it's so funny because these are the most confident people that I know. And they're so good at what they do. And before the podcast, like, we're nervous. But anyway, so if you're listening, be sure to reach out and tell them how good they did because they're killing it so far. Molly, I have a question for you. So we hired you pretty recently. You know, Quinn brought you on as part of the team, you know, did a great job. I think you're, you know, obviously a fantastic fit for what we do. But you had a very unique experience. You were working for a local media partner and a local magazine in Boulder. I won't name it, but with that, you did a lot of what the dealers are doing on a day-to-day. I haven't even talked about Marielle and Carter as well, because they have cool backgrounds as well. But let's talk about you for a second. When you were going and developing these relationships with these advertisers that were going to be in the magazine, what were some of the primary methods that you used to build the relationship with those clients?
I think that it all stems from conversation, even just your tone of voice. Building relationships with people is the most important thing. Every single person who wanted to do advertising, wanted to do an event with us, I knew them, you know, or I got to know them on a personal level, asking them about their kids, how life is going. I think that is so important because it really does build a relationship. It builds up trust. And then once, you know, they trust you, they trust your business, then everything kind of stems from there. So I definitely think that when I was walking into businesses or I was, you know, calling people on the phone, it wouldn't be straight to the sale. It would be asking them questions about themselves, you know, things like that, just to really build up a relationship.
Absolutely. And I've seen you use those techniques when you've been educating and teaching dealers. So that translates really well. And I agree with you guys. These days, everyone says, you know, I hate salespeople. And I don't. I do too. They're annoying when someone goes in and they're just pitching you and you can tell all they care about is trying to get a check from you or try to get money from you, right? It immediately turns you off. Like, oh, go away. Even if you want that service, if someone treats you that way, you're like, never mind. I'll go find someone else. So with that, everything is relationships. And it's more fun for you as someone trying to sell someone something, to get to know them, get to know the human and get to know their actual needs, because maybe they're a perfect fit for, you know, some you weren't even considering, maybe for some of the digital products. Maybe they're not a good fit and that's okay. At least you got to know them and you learn instead of trying to pitch someone something that they don't need. But anyway, I love that you guys keep bringing up the fact that it's a relationship business, because it is. And that is the way that you have to sell in this day and age. It's more of that consultative approach to really build a relationship and get to know your client. So definitely agree with that. So when you guys are talking about, obviously, you got to take these dealers from A to Z, right? All the time. You onboard them, you do a great job on the early trainings. Well, what about when a dealer's, you know, in the flow of things? They have a lot of host locations, a lot of screens up, they have a lot of advertisers. How do you help them continue to scale their business when they've kind of reached that next level, if you will, in this business?
I think that's a great question, Patrick. It comes down to a lot of, honestly, proactiveness, even from our team, of making sure that we're understanding every stage that our clients are in, right? So that, because again, even after you grow into a certain point, you know, sometimes you get into the routine of things and sometimes you even get happy with the current state of, you know, where everything's at. And you don't really tend to think, you know, the next couple of years ahead because everything's running so smoothly and, you know, you're kind of taking it one day at a time. So I guess even having proactiveness from the team of understanding what your next milestones are and making sure that we're always having those touch points when those milestones are coming, and kind of also just making sure that we're being encouraging to all the goals that our dealers have, right? Because if I'm working with you from the beginning and you tell me that your goal is to get up to 100 units, you want 100 partners, you know, in your business venture, and your 50th host location comes on board, you better believe I am calling you, reaching out to you and celebrating with you, and then making sure that, all right, so we're halfway. What do we need to do to finish, you know, get to the finish line of what our goals were for this year and, you know, things of that nature. So honestly, it's just a lot of proactiveness on our end of seeing when those milestones are coming up, reaching out and always establishing new goals.
It's so funny to say that because I tell everyone, and this is obviously a joke, so I hope no one needs to know about this. Tell everyone, buy your therapist when you become a dealer, because if you're lonely, you don't have anyone to talk to, don't worry. The client services team, all the teams here are going to be talking to you often enough to where you're going to be fine. But that really is one of the biggest challenges of entrepreneurship, but that I feel like people don't talk about a lot, is when you do something on your own, just by yourself, like you're not part of a, you know, a business opportunity or even a franchise or situations like that, it's lonely and it's hard. And when you hit those challenges, who's there for you to turn to? Hopefully you have a mentor or someone like that, because if not, it is brutal. And with that, having a whole team of people constantly dedicated to your success, to trying to help you, is such a game changer from a mentality perspective. It's hard to even quantify that or even explain that sometimes without really feeling it and seeing it. So I like that you talk about that. But something you just said there, Marielle, you guys are constantly keeping up with being proactive and keeping up with where dealers are at. How often are you guys evaluating where dealers are at? How often are you guys going through and talking either internally about the dealers or looking at it yourself in this business?
Much as we possibly can. I know that we have, you know, internally, we have weekly meetings, but for different reasons, right? So, and all of it is basically always staying on top of, again, our clients, what we need to do to work to either help our clients, you know, anything really in that range. We even meet with the tech team at times to ensure that, you know, if any of our clients are having issues with the tech side of the business, you know, that's even getting addressed. So it's crazy because you don't really think about, you know, exactly what we have our hands in or what we're analyzing, but we are thinking of everything as much as possible. Because again, like you were saying, these dealers sometimes are all alone, right? And maybe they have one other admin or one other sales rep that they're working within, but we're kind of that back end of just always making sure that they're one, not feeling like they're alone, but two, again, you know, addressing challenges before they actually do even come up, because that can be detrimental to someone that can get in their own head on their own, wherever they're at, right? So I think that's honestly a big reason and a big focus of why we even do those, you know, sessions weekly that we, you know, have implemented thus far.
And Carter, did you want to add on to that as well?
Yeah. So, you know, we do weekly and biweekly calls with all of our dealers, whether they're in the growing stages of their business, whether in that, you know, sort of middle stage where they've already established, they're growing, you know, they're doing really well, or, you know, they're the top of the line, right? And they're thriving with their dealership. We work with all different types of dealers. So we are constantly communicating amongst ourselves. Where are these dealers at? Where, you know, what, how many screens do they have maybe in their network, or just how is their network going for them? What is going on not only with their network, but in their personal lives as well? Because that's going to be just as important in terms of how it's going to impact, you know, the grand scheme of their business. So to Patrick, or to Molly's point, actually, you know, with that relationship building process, whenever we're on these calls, yes, we are talking about their business. Yes, we're asking them, you know, how their business is going, but we're also checking in about their personal lives, really, because you can't address one without the other, especially when they're going so hand in hand with these entrepreneurs, that their daily lives are their business. So we're always checking in with them, seeing how things are going. If there's anything that we can kind of console them with, or, you know, any advice we can give, you know, that extends far beyond Encompass TV's responsibilities, we're always going to, you know, make recommendations or really just be there for our dealers, especially when, like Marielle said, they might have a couple employees, but they're really looking to us to feel that support and kind of feel that warmth and connection. And we're very happy to provide that.
These are friends. These dealers become friends. Even just you saying that, I was thinking about just the last couple of days. I've been texting back and forth with some of the dealers that I'm really close with. They're sending me pictures of them, you know, going fishing, and pictures of what their son did, you know, or telling me what their son did on the baseball game, at the baseball game the other day, or talk to me about how one of them's going to be out of the homestead. The other one's talking about how they have a concert venue in their town that's really unique and all these businesses connected. Just really cool things. And you don't even think about it. Like, once you're in this for so long, they're just friends, and they're people we obviously provide a lot of support to, and, you know, obviously help them build their business. But there's such a close relationship there. That's such a cool part of being, you know, part of this whole thing, if you will. But I also wanted to talk about something Marielle had mentioned as well that I thought was really valid and unique, is when people get into this, not everyone has the same goals at all. Like, they're all over the place. Why they got into the business is usually way different from one another. What even led them to wanting to start a business is usually way different. And how, you know, they want to take this is always unique. And with that, we have some dealers who are like, hey, we're going to build up 300 screens. We want to be one of the biggest dealerships. We want to, you know, grow this thing, saturate the market. Then we have the other side where we're like, dealers like, hey, yeah, we just want to have some residual income. I'm not looking to get too crazy. I just want to have a nice, comfortable life. Maybe they just retired or something like that. Everyone's different. So how do you guys balance those types of situations where you have dealers that want to build out huge kind of corporations, and then dealers who are like, I just want to have a nice little business?
I think that's all, it's all part of the initial stages and the approach that we take. But I mean, I feel like even when I have my dealers that say, you know, I really just only want a bit of residual income, I always try to dive in a little deeper to what that really looks like and what that's contributing to. So I feel like we're just always constantly looking to develop new plans to always adjust to goals. And I think obviously the approach that I take with someone that wants to be more relaxed is definitely going to be a lot different than someone that I take, you know, one of the dealers that I have that maybe wants to grow to, you know, 100 plus screens. And the biggest thing about that is just also understanding what level of communication that takes, right? So some of my dealers, honestly, they don't want to talk every single day because they don't need that accountability, really. So as far as, you know, how I balance out my calendar and the way that I communicate with my dealers, it's usually always based off of, you know, their goals and really how much they even want me to communicate with them. But I have some dealers that are like, listen, I'm going to need you to motivate me. Even when I say I'm not going out there in the field, I need you to call me, text me and say, what are you doing? What's going on? So I think a lot of that is really just part of the open conversation that we have with our dealers and understanding, one, how do you want to be communicated with? How frequently? But then also constantly assessing your goals, right? I know you always said you wanted residual income, but now I'm seeing that you're selling X amount of these products on a daily basis. Imagine if, right? And kind of just playing the game of, well, what other goals do you have? If, you know, obviously, if that's it, then that's perfectly fine. I'm always curious to see, you know, you do want, you know, now that you can see maybe a bigger picture, how we can reassess.
Yeah,
it's funny. A lot of times I see that change where they start getting some sales in and they're like, never mind, I'm going Patrick, one quick note I wanted to add to that is absolutely working in media in our industry. We've noticed with our dealers that just maybe want to have a, you know, small to medium level business. They just want to have a nice little business per se. When they start getting screens up, they're going to start attracting the attention of the community. And more importantly, the advertisers in the community, they're going to attract other businesses in their community. So we have had dealers that, you know, maybe only want to have 10, 20, 30 screens, but just the nature of our business is once you start getting out there, other businesses are going to see that, see our model as a potential for them to advertise. So it's just, it's really a big snowball effect too. Is, you know, some of our dealers who want to, you know, just have that small level business, it always grows just because of the nature of our screens. And, you know, there's so much potential with our model. You know, people, they might say they want a small goal, but once they hit that mark, they're starting to feel that hunger and they definitely want to grow a little more.
It's organic. You're absolutely right. It really is. And we see it time and time again. I've seen the same things happening. And it is that snowball effect. Once they start getting going, they're like, dang, I could really do something special with this. You know, another question that I get a lot, just to ask you guys, because it's interesting. What do some of those success stories look like from dealers? Like, what do those dealers have in terms of like traits maybe, or maybe mindset, or maybe the way that they're utilizing the teams? What are those things that those dealers kind of have in common, if you guys can kind of word that the best as possible, when it comes to being successful, like very successful in this business?
I think the biggest thing that I've noticed, at least just being with a company for this long, is that usually the dealers that are the most successful are the ones that are being proactive about connecting themselves to the team, but also other dealers, right? So whether that be in the form of always joining the webinars, even if it's not a topic per se that they're the most interested in. But I get dealers all the time that will go on a webinar that they weren't expecting to get anything out of. And they're like, oh my goodness.
What's a webinar here? What does that mean?
Oh, yes. So our webinars are essentially, we host these four times every week in the month, so long as it's not a fifth week. Every Thursday, we host these weekly webinar sessions that each have a topic of focus. And I think two of them are sales focused. One of them is development stages focused, and then the other one is digital marketing services focused. So obviously a wide range there of, you know, the different topics that we can discuss, but these webinars are essentially the time of the week where we invite all of our dealers to meet with our team and talk about the topics that are usually requested by dealers. If it's not requested by dealers, usually because we're rolling out a product or service that we want to kind of announce, right? So if the session were really, it's everyone's feedback all in one place in real time. So you get to see other dealer spaces, meet other dealers, interact with the other, you know, dealers in the chat and even live, which is always great. Depending on the type of session, even we sometimes interview dealers, right? So it is just a great resource to have, especially for some of the people that are coming in here from a completely different industry. They don't feel like they really know what they're getting themselves into, right? It's a good place to see how everyone else is doing, everyone in regards to who just started this business with you or who's been in this for 5+ years, right? So it's really just, I think, such a great thing that we offer to be able to get that platform for everyone to connect with one another. And obviously, I feel like, yes, it's one thing to talk to the team, but it's another thing to talk to the people that are doing the exact same thing, have invested the same amount of time, resources into this business as you.
And you mentioned digital marketing services. How do those play into this business? And, you know, how do those essentially, let's be real, how they add to the bottom line of the business for a dealer?
I think the digital marketing services paired with what we do with screens, it's a match made in heaven. It is really, if you think about it, you know, you're going out there with the screens and you're talking to everyone from established businesses to new businesses. And with that, they're going to trust you to, you know, work on their content for their ads and all of these things. And you're going to develop those relationships. Business owners, if they care about their business, they will invest money in marketing, right? Because nowadays, that's just how businesses grow and how they thrive, is by, you know, marketing themselves in the community, their brand awareness, all of that good stuff. So the digital marketing services aspect of this business is really what makes your client almost stay with you, because you're that one-stop shop, right? It allows you to be their marketing expert, because not only can you do the billboards for them, but you can actually help them with every type of, you know, the part of marketing that they're trying to get into, whether that be they're building their business, so they have to do the foundational piece of marketing, right? The more advanced kind of marketing, for lack of better words, products that we offer. There's really kind of a wide range of what we can do for these businesses, but we can only do it if we offer both of them, right? So the digital marketing services honestly just completes, I feel like, the business model.
I kind of want to go off that a little bit as well. I think that, you know, most advertisers will know, especially if they're advertising on our screens, that someone's not just going to look at the screen and immediately go and buy, you know, whatever product is being advertised. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, top of mind awareness. You're advertising on these screens, you're advertising elsewhere. But the point is that, let's say a plumber, for example, when someone needs a plumber, they don't want to write plumber in my area. Like, instead, they want, you know, you want the customer to write Joe's Plumbing. And eventually, when that does happen, our DMS services can really help when it gets to that second point in the funnel, like your Google business profile, you know, your website, when people start researching your company. And I think that's why it really just goes hand in hand in that way.
Great answer from you guys. Yeah, I really appreciate that. And for anyone listening, go listen to the podcast with Sean Givens that I was able to do with him. Really good. He went pretty in depth on digital marketing services. And for those of you guys internally, if you ever have a one-on-one call with him or something like that, you know he can go very in-depth. So there's a lot of cool conversation that you'll have with him and his team later on. And if you're listening to this, even these three talented individuals, they're just a part of client services. There's other, obviously, Quinn leads the team, and we have currently Ron and Kara as basically sales specialists as well on the training side. They're both phenomenal. And then the digital marketing team is like a replica of this team, but totally different people with totally different passions, obviously more so on the digital side. So just know that if you're listening to this, there's a lot of talented people here that sound just like these people that you're listening to now. It's cool. But I want to ask you guys a question, and you guys to each please answer it as best as you can, one by one. What advice would you give to dealers in terms of maintaining long-term success and, you know, basically putting themselves in the best position to succeed as Encompass dealers?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and answer first, just so I can, you know, take this answer off the board. But that's take advantage of the resources that we can provide at Encompass, whether that's with client services or, like Patrick said, any of our other departments. We provide, you know, so much hands-on support for our dealers, not only in the training stages, but at any life, you know, at any stage or point in development in their business. They can use us for any questions they have, and we can get them those answers. We can help them work on solutions that's going to really help them grow their business. So I would say just, you know, take advantage of what we're offering you. Have questions, please reach out. We can't, you know, guess a problem or guess a question if we never know about it. So that's what I would say to all of our dealers, to just continue to reach out to us. We're going to always have that proactiveness, and we're going to reach out to you the fastest way we can. But essentially, the best way to get a problem in front of us is just to let us know.
So I definitely think willingness to learn, especially in this, you know, just marketing and advertising, there's always going to be new, you know, services coming out or just new techniques, and always be willing to learn that, especially from us. Again, as Carter said, you know, there's so many resources, and all it takes is just a phone call, a text message. And then again, with relationships, not only relationships with clients, but with our whole team as well, because, you know, there's so much that we can do to help. And then, you know, on that same side with clients, hosts, advertisers, keeping up your relationships.
Great answers, guys. Go ahead, Mary Ellie.
Yeah, mine would definitely just be the biggest one is to reach out when you're struggling. We love to hear about your successes, but honestly, I would much rather hear about your hardships, because that's the only way that we can truthfully know where we need to be more proactive, right? So if there's one thing I leave off, obviously, you know, taking advantage of your resources and asking questions, those are huge. But specifically when you're struggling, use the team. There have been so many instances where someone just gets in a rut and all they have to do is ask me one question. And I even just come to them and I say, I know just the person that you need to talk to about this, right? So I think that's the biggest thing is tell us about your hardships so that we can be proactive so that, you know, it doesn't progress.
That's such a good answer, because we have so many dealers that do so well. And then, like I said, they hit a rut, which is very normal. I mean, I'm in sales. I hit ruts all the time, and it is hard mentally. And, you know, they kind of get embarrassed. Like, well, I don't want them to know that I, you know, had a challenge here. No, that's what they're here for. Yes, they're going to be your biggest cheerleaders. Like you said, they're going to high five you virtually or maybe hopefully in person sometimes whenever, you know, you do get a big win. But whenever you don't, it's okay. It's okay. That's when you learn. And yeah, definitely reach out. Definitely develop those relationships with the team. You know, definitely utilize all the resources. And, you know, great. First off, great answers on that last question, guys. Great podcast. You guys killed it. And I just want to say thank you so much to you guys as a member of the client services team for all you do for me and for our dealers and for the company. And so thank you for your time and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you so much for having us, Patrick.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Boards. I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is hosted by myself and produced alongside Haley Burt. The music is composed by Rocket Jr. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss any episodes, and please leave us a review if you like what you hear. On behalf of our entire Beyond the Boards team, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time as we continue to explore the fascinating world of digital out-of-home advertising.